This episode of Court Junkie is brought to you by Audible.com. If you love listening to podcasts, you will love Audible.com. There's so many great true crime audiobooks to choose from. But one of my personal favorites is called Missing Mom, a true crime, true family story. It's the story of a missing 80-year-old grandmother from Flint, Michigan, told from the perspective of her son. If you want a free audiobook and to help support this podcast, please go to audibletrial.com/courtjunkie, where you can get that free audiobook download plus a 30-day free trial. That's audibletrial.com/courtjunkie. Hello, and welcome to the first Court Junkie update episode. I'll be posting these mini episodes from time to time, whenever there's an update in a case that I've been covering. And today's update is on the Melissa Kaluzinski case. Melissa is a former daycare worker who has spent the last almost 7 years in prison, accused of throwing a 16-month-old baby named Ben King into the ground and killing him. If you haven't listened to episodes 1 and 2 of this podcast, please go back and check those out first, or you will be really lost with this episode. Friday was the last day of Melissa's evidentiary hearing for her post-conviction relief petition. As a reminder, Melissa's attorney, Kathleen Zellner, filed a petition in June 2015 alleging new evidence in the form of x-rays that had been recently discovered. Melissa's father, Paul Kaluzinski, had received an anonymous phone call saying that there were additional x-rays at the coroner's office that had never made it into trial. Zellner and her team believe that these x-rays show proof that there was no skull fracture, putting a major dent in the state's murder theory. Melissa was granted an evidentiary hearing, and Friday was day 3, the last day of testimony before the judge's final decision. Days 1 and 2 were held back in August, and I go over them in depth in episode 2. But just to recap, attorney Zellner presented evidence that right before trial, Melissa's trial attorney, Paul DeLuca, received 3 x-ray images of Ben's body from the prosecution. They were on a CD in JPEG format. The x-rays were unreadable, and neither the defense nor the prosecution really used them at trial. The new x-ray images that have surfaced are significantly clearer and easier to read, and attorney Zellner is arguing that they would have made a difference in the outcome of the trial. Lake County Coroner Dr. Thomas Rudd testified in August that he believes the clearer x-rays show that there was a prior injury that caused Ben's death, and that the evidence does not match the story of Melissa having thrown him to the ground. We also learned in the hearings in August that the new x-ray images weren't exactly new. The JPEG images that had been given to the defense were actually compressed images of the original files. And JPEGs are the lowest quality images, meaning that the x-ray images never should have been exported as JPEGs in the first place and then given to the defense. So now the question is, who gave these crappy JPEG images to the defense, and why weren't they provided the clearer images? Friday's testimony didn't answer that question, but there was a revelation that it's possible, and maybe even likely, that the x-ray images were not only saved as JPEGs and then given to the defense, but that they had been intentionally modified too. Maybe to make sure they were unreadable? More on that in a minute. Friday's hearing started out with a grumpy-looking prosecution team, which I know sounds kind of funny, but as soon as you walked into the courtroom, you could tell that there had been some sort of development and that the state was not happy about it. Turns out, Kathleen Zellner and her team had filed a motion this past Wednesday in response to the bombshell that came out in last month's hearing. The motion asked the court to amend their post-conviction relief petition based on testimony that alleged that one of the state's experts had lied at Melissa's trial. As you'll recall in episode 2, one of the big bombshells that came out in the hearings last month was the allegation that one of the state's expert witnesses perjured himself on the stand at Melissa's trial. Dr. Montez had testified at trial that he was present at the first autopsy and that he had felt Ben's skull fracture with his own hands. But Dr. Paul Foreman, a deputy coroner at the Lake County Coroner's Office, testified for attorney Zellner at the hearing and said that Dr. Montez was not only not present at the autopsy, but that he never even saw the body. Now, with this motion, Zellner and her team want the judge to consider this information as part of their petition. Lake County Assistant State's Attorney Stephen Scheller expressed annoyance that he had just received the motion this past Wednesday, but the judge said he would consider it. Melissa's team called their first witness, a man by the name of Jeff Mueller. Mueller's been a software developer for 18 years, and he's the CEO of a company called Exascale. He examined the X-ray images on the coroner's computer, as well as examined the JPEG images that Melissa's trial attorney, Paul DeLuca, had originally received from the prosecution. Mueller testified that when he looked at Ben Kingen's file on the coroner's computer, he saw three TIFF X-ray images, two of Ben's upper torso and skull, and one of Ben's lower torso. He compared them to the JPEG images DeLuca had received, and he tried to recreate how those TIFFs could have become JPEGs. Here's what he says he found, and then he demoed this in court. In order to take those TIFF images and make them into the quality of JPEGs that DeLuca received, he said that somebody would have to open the image in TigerView, that viewing software, modify the image so that it's virtually unreadable, adjust the quality of the image to the lowest point, and then save it as a JPEG. And that's basically what DeLuca got on his CD, images that were unreadable JPEGs. But that's not all. One of the JPEG images was such poor quality that Mueller said after saving it from TigerView, he then had to go into Photoshop and mess with it even more so that it would match the bad quality from DeLuca's image. So here's the significance. It looks like someone, somehow, modified those images, saved them in the lowest quality JPEGs they could, and then gave them over to the defense at trial. And one of them may have even been modified further with Photoshop. So, was this a deliberate attempt to hide the X-rays? Mueller also testified that JPEGs cannot be made clearer in TigerView, no matter what version of TigerView you're using. The state last month argued that a newer version of TigerView had resulted in the clearer images, but Mueller said the versions wouldn't have made a difference. So no matter what DeLuca did with those images and when, nothing would have made them any clearer for him to have been able to use them at the trial. Dr. Nancy Jones, the former Cook County medical examiner who was supposed to testify Friday, could not appear due to a private matter, so the affidavit she wrote for the petition was admitted instead. The affidavit presumably agrees with Dr. Rudd's testimony, that she believes Ben died from a prior injury and that there was no skull fracture. The state then had three witnesses of their own. The first was Dean Karash, a cyber crimes investigator at the state's attorney's office. Karash said he was present when Jeff Mueller performed his examination of the coroner's computer. He testified that Mueller's examination was concerning to him because he wasn't following proper protocol for a forensic computer investigation. He said at one point, Mueller even created a new image in Ben Kingen's file, which he says is absolutely against forensic protocol. On cross-examination by Kathleen Zellner, Karash admitted he didn't know much about images at all and that he wasn't sure why Mueller was doing what he was doing. The state's next witness was William Biang, an investigator with the state's attorney's office. Biang said he looked into the anonymous phone call that Melissa's father, Paul Kaluzinski, says he received in June 2015, telling him about that new set of X-rays that weren't introduced at trial. Paul said he had then called the Lake County coroner, Dr. Rudd, who checked Ben's file and found the clearer images. Biang said he subpoenaed both Dr. Rudd's and Paul Kaluzinski's cell phone records. He then went over them in court, noting the numerous back-and-forth calls on the day of the anonymous phone call between Paul Kaluzinski and Dr. Rudd. On cross-examination, Biang admitted that he had no idea what any of the phone conversations were about and who actually spoke on the phone. He could only see the records. The state's last witness was David Thomas, a former member of the Lake County Major Crimes Task Force. Thomas attended the second autopsy of Ben Kingen. As you'll recall from last month's hearing, Dr. Paul Foreman had said that Dr. Montes never could have seen the body because he wasn't present at the first autopsy and because Foreman had stitched Ben's body back up immediately afterwards. Thomas stated that he did not believe Ben's body had been stitched up prior to the second autopsy. He said he didn't notice any suture marks, which would have been present if Ben had been stitched up prior. Attorney Zellner called one rebuttal witness to the stand, someone she called right from the galley where we were sitting. It was Paul Kaluzinski, Melissa's father, who took the stand and testified that although his affidavit states he received that anonymous phone call on his cell phone, it actually came through as a private number to his home phone. Closing arguments came next, and Stephen Scheller got up for the state. He argued that nothing the court heard during the hearing entitles the defendant to relief. He noted that it was strange how everything started out with this anonymous phone call, and that it doesn't make sense how it all happened. He then went on to say that the x-rays were not new evidence and that they would not have changed the outcome of the trial. He pointed out that the defense's own experts at trial testified without them, that they had formed their opinions without them. He said, whether the x-rays show a fracture or not, they're insignificant to the defense. He said the state never argued that a fracture is what killed Ben, that it was just a symptom of child abuse or homicide. Scheller then went on to address Dr. Rudd, the Lake County coroner who testified at the hearing that the clearer x-rays prove that there was a prior injury and that it wasn't murder. Scheller called Dr. Rudd one of the most unbelievable witnesses I've ever seen in my life. He called Dr. Rudd a quote-unquote media darling and said he only cares about free publicity and being on talk shows and YouTube. Scheller asked Judge Shaines to consider the evidence presented at Melissa's trial, the fact that the ER doctor had testified that they were highly suspicious that it was a non-accidental trauma, the fact that another expert who had testified for the state at trial, Dr. Greenbaum, was an expert in child abuse, and that Dr. Greenbaum said that Ben died from a head injury involving blunt force trauma. Scheller also addressed the alleged Brady violation accusation, which is when the prosecution knowingly suppresses evidence that is favorable to a defendant. Scheller said they gave the defense the JPEG images, no matter what the format was. He said the prosecution had the same images and the outcome of the trial would not have been any different. Scheller said that there was so much evidence at trial that whether or not there was a fracture is insignificant. And as for Dr. Montes, Scheller said the fact that he may have lied would be impeachable evidence at best and not newly discovered evidence. He said the defense team's theory is that Ben essentially killed himself with his head banging and that it's just not true. Melissa's attorney Zellner then got up to give her closing arguments. She said that although the state is saying the skull fracture is now insignificant, it was mentioned 93 times at trial. She said they aren't claiming that the fracture caused the death, but that it was referenced by every doctor in the case, in the state's opening and closing arguments at trial, and even 10 times in Melissa's interrogation. She said the doctors, including Dr. Greenbaum, testified that a linear skull fracture was indicative of blunt force trauma. She said the state's own experts testified that the fracture indicated an intentional death versus an accidental one. She said that there was no question that Dr. Montes' testimony about feeling the fracture affected the jury's decision. Attorney Zellner also reiterated Jeff Mueller's testimony and said that different versions of Tiger View did not account for the clearer images. She said DeLuca got a fraction of what he should have been given. She said there is a reasonable probability that the outcome would have been different if the evidence, in this case the x-rays and Dr. Montes' testimony, had been disclosed. Judge Shaines told the court after arguments had finished that this case was his highest priority and that he hoped to give closure to the families as soon as possible. He set a tentative date for his decision for next Friday at 10 a.m. So here are my final thoughts about these hearings. The state argued in their closing that they gave the x-ray images to the defense and that it doesn't matter what format they were in. But I disagree. I think it does matter. And I think it definitely might have affected the outcome at trial. If the defense now has experts who have seen the clearer x-rays and who say that it shows a prior injury, that might cast enough reasonable doubt. And the Dr. Montes issue. If Dr. Montes said at trial that he had been an eyewitness to the skull fracture, and then it turns out that he wasn't, that would cause a major credibility issue with him, perhaps even making him unbelievable to the jury. But regardless, I don't think it's up to me to decide, or for the state to decide, or even the defense. I think it's something a jury should decide. Needless to say, I'll be attending next Friday, and I'll post another update then. I've been following this case for so long that it's kind of surreal that there's about to be a life-changing answer to it within the next week. And if I feel this way, both families involved are surely feeling it too. So now the question is, will Melissa get a new trial, or will she be turned down yet again? And that's all for today's update episode. I'll be releasing episode 5 shortly, where I'm covering the unbelievable case of Erica Parsons, a teenage girl who wasn't reported missing until 2 years after her disappearance. I talked with her adoptive sister, Brooke, who gave me insight and told me things that I'm still trying to wrap my head around. I'll be finishing up that episode soon, so be on the lookout for it. I promise you will not want to miss it. And if you like this podcast, please consider subscribing and leaving me a review. You can also find me on Twitter at CourtJunkiePod or on Facebook at CourtJunkie. To support this podcast, you can donate at patreon.com/CourtJunkie, or you can sign up for a free trial at audibletrial.com/CourtJunkie. Thanks.